Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you all for joining us on this wonderful day of worship. Let us begin today by reading our watchword for the week together. Romans 12, verse 2. Paul wrote, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Thanks be to God. A few announcements before we get started. Just a reminder, September 10th, 2 weeks from now, we'll be back to 10:30 worship, so don't forget about that. If you happen to show up an hour early, guess what? We'll have Bible study started for you, so you won't have to sit around and twiddle your thumbs. You can be an active learner. We'll also have Rally Day on September 10th. I'm excited for what CE has planned. I think it's going to be a fun day, a great time for all of us to get motivated for this upcoming season of learning. August 29th, all T County lay people who are on a joint board are invited to a meeting at 7 p.m. at the Tuskegee Community Center building. It's a great opportunity for all of Ohio to sit around and talk about different ideas that are happening at different churches, so that we're all allocating our resources wisely and together and building in community. And no pastors are invited because apparently we talk too much, so y'all can have as much fun as you want. also, our youth Bible study will be after worship. We'll actually be meeting underneath the big tree in my front yard this week. I'm excited to learn and grow together as a group again, and I think that's been a lot of fun, and hopefully we can keep that momentum going. If you have any questions about that, come see me or one of the participants, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you have. Also, a reminder, Quiz Bowl practice continues this Sunday. That'll be going through most of September. We're excited about the team we have. Three of our kids on the team are Shenbrunn kids, so when Quiz Bowl comes on October 7th, make sure you come out and watch these kids. They're putting in a lot of hard work, so it'd be great for our church family to come out there and support them. Also, Becky wanted to remind us all that we need ushers and greeters. So if you have not signed up, please take this opportunity to sign up out in the narthex, and we would appreciate any help we could get. Carolyn wanted to make an announcement.
Good morning. Pastor Ben mentioned Rally Day, which is in 2 weeks, and I just really want to personally extend an invitation to every one of you. Rally Day is when we kick off our Sunday school year. It's always a fun day. We have breakfast and activities for all ages. We're going to continue with our theme of diving into God's Word, living water, and so we'll start with a message about Jonah and have some activities. There is a sign-up sheet for breakfast in the narthex. If you'd like to donate something for that, please go ahead and take a look at that this week or next. And then I would like to share with you real quick what our Sunday school classes will be for this year. We're continuing with Deep Blue, which is a one-room Sunday school class for ages 3 through 8th grade. It's a lot of fun. Angie and McKenna lead that, so we have an experienced educator and an up-and-coming educator, and they do a great job with the kids. It's a lot of fun. We also have videos that teach. Becky Canfield and Jacob Cannon lead that, and that's for 9th grade and up. And up really means up to any age. So it's kind of a contemporary study based on videos. We watch clips of videos and answer questions, and there's some scriptures that go along with that too. And then we have two adult classes just for any age. Paula Drum will be leading a Bible study, and if you haven't had a chance to participate in something like that with her, she does a great job. I can highly recommend that. And then we'll have a contemporary and seasonal study. Sometimes Pastor Ben will lead that, and sometimes I will. We're going to start with a series on faith and music, so that's going to be pretty exciting too. And I'd just like to challenge you, if you haven't been to Sunday school in a while, come and spend the morning with us. Start with Rally Day, and then, you know, take your time to visit the classes. They're really fun. Your CEC works really hard all year to provide these opportunities for you, and Sunday school is a big part of it. It's where we learn and grow in our faith, and also have a lot of fun. It's a fellowship opportunity, too. So if you have any questions, just come and ask me after church or give me a call sometime. I'd be happy to hear any suggestions that you have or just answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. And just one last reminder, we have a birthday cake and anniversary celebration after worship, so please come on down to Fellowship Hall and join us. But this time I'd like to invite you to stand and greet one another. for the birthdays? Am I reading the names of everybody?
Some do, some don't.
Okay. Let's see if I have it. I don't know if I have the insert. I'll see if I can grab one. Morning. So for our birthdays this week, we celebrate Tim Northrup, Kylie, Becky Schanauer, Doug Miller, Denny Drum, Norm Kadri, John Eichel, and Tyler Eichel. For anniversaries, we celebrate Ted and Catherine Canfield, Denny and Paula Drum, Don and Becky Schanauer, and Floyd and Delene Swinderman. At this time, I'd like to invite you as we join together in the birthday hymn to celebrate our birthdays and anniversaries in our congregation.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir, for that wonderful song. At this time, I'd like to invite you all to please stand as we join together in the call to worship. Let us give thanks, O Lord, with our whole hearts. For you have exalted your word.
On the day we called you in the answer, you increased the strength of our souls.
All the people of the earth shall praise you, O Lord.
We shall sing the praise of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
Please remain standing for our Liturgy of Education, which can be found on page 127 of your Moravian Book of Worship.
We praise you, Lord. We give thanks to you with our whole heart.
We are your words, full of honor and majesty, and studied by all who delight in that.
The works of your hands are faithful and just.
Your precepts are trustworthy.
Our reverence for you is the beginning of wisdom.
You are to be praised forever.
Comes every good and perfect gift. We praise you for the wisdom, power, and love displayed in the natural universe and in humanity, whom you have placed within it to care for it and nurture it.
All glory to you, Almighty God.
Light of the world, we praise you for being the eternal truth.
All glory to you, Christ our teacher.
Revealer of the deep things of God, we praise you for your gifts of awe and wonder, which lead us on the path of true wisdom.
All glory to you, Holy Spirit.
God of vision and wisdom, we confess our short-sightedness and folly in our search for knowledge and understanding, for our pride in pursuing and using knowledge in ways that make us think we are superior to others. We ask your forgiveness.
For our misuse of science and technology, leading to the oppression of people and the abuse of creation. We ask your forgiveness.
For our failure to ask hard questions and our willingness to be satisfied with easy answers, for our ignorance of history and tradition, and for our stubborn resistance to new insights of both heart and mind, we ask your forgiveness.
We neglect the study of the Scripture, the foundation of all true learning, although your splendor has been put in our path, we have chosen to walk in darkness.
Although your guidance is always available, we have relied upon our own will.
Although you have given us wise counsel,
inspired writers, and thoughtful teachers, we have turned to our own ways.
Gracious God, you forgive us through Jesus Christ. In humble acknowledgement of your love revealed in him, we give you thanks and pray the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Teacher, to you we commend all who learn, infants tasting and touching, children exploring and play, youth testing and challenging, and adults continuing the quest.
Bless our learning with your spirit.
In the disciplined mastery of subject and skill, in the reflection on life experience, in the practical wisdom of long years, at every age and in every circumstance of life,
bless our learning with your spirit.
Give patience and understanding to those who teach. Give perseverance and openness of heart and mind to those who learn.
Bless our learning with your spirit.
Spirit of truth, to you we commend all the educational ministries of the church. Guide us in the search of the scripture, in the study of creation, and in the pursuit of truth. Give to parents your wisdom and thoughts, that with love and understanding they may guide to Christian maturity the young lives entrusted to their care. May congregations nurture faith in children, youth, and adults.
Hear our prayer, Spirit of Truth.
Bless all those responsible for education in our community and country. Teachers and administrators, custodians and clerks, students and families, for their gifts and their service.
Amen.
For all the diversity of human study and knowledge, for science and art, for literature and drama, for labor and play, for all the teaching experiences of life.
Give you thanks.
Please stand.
Thank you.
God of lasting wisdom, to the God of relentless change. To God be glory, majesty, dominion, and power.
Now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
For our offering today, I'd like to share a little story. There's a 5-year-old girl who got a $5 allowance every week for vacuuming, for making her bed, for doing her dishes. And all of a sudden, she got paid every Friday. And one Saturday morning, her mom, who works Saturdays, got a little note on her shoes with $5 bill attached. And she said, "You can have the money, Mommy, because what I did it for love." So let us give to God everything with love. Let us pray together. Holy Spirit, help us to see we are all part of the body of Christ. There are no small gifts among us, since all come from the Creator. In our congregation, we have those who give much out of their time, talents, and gifts. Help us to give thanks for the gifts we have received and for all the gifted people in our community. Amen. You may be seated. In our prayers this week, we continue to lift up all educators and students. May they enjoy the privilege that it is to learn and teach in a community. And we just continue to pray for growth and to see our young people continue to be inspired by knowledge. We also offer our prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Gary Hickenbottom. She is a cousin of Tammy Stafford. We also uplift Don Canfield, that family. We continue to know that all of you are in our thoughts and prayers, and if you need anything from our community, please let us know. And we also uplift those who are in the path of Hurricane Harvey in Texas. It is a Category 4 hurricane with over 20 inches of rain in some spots, and we not only pray for those who have been afflicted, but for those who are called to respond to this. Let us be a nation that continues to respond to all needs. And we also pray for a camper at Camp Hope in New Jersey who was struck by a motorcycle this week. He seems like he's going to be okay, but he's in critical care, and he's got a long road ahead of him, and he needs a lot of prayer behind him. And so we uplift that young man and his family. Some prayers of blessings to celebrate this week. My roommate for 2 years at college, Adam Goodrich, accepted a call in North Carolina. So he'll be serving as a pastor there. I think he'll be ordained in early September. We're celebrating with him. And then another one of my groomsmen who I graduated with in seminary, Greg Barand, his wife and him had their first child, Owen, this past week. And we celebrate with them, and we're excited to see how he continues to grow and learn as well. Let's open our hearts and minds in a moment of prayer to God. God, we come before you today as students, people who are constantly looking to learn from you, to grow with you. Help us to see that all of us are called to learn, that we never stop. Help all our teachers and our students as they go forth in their school. Help them to see that they are Christians every single day, that they need to help those who are in need, that to pick people up, to let them know that we are Christians by our love. Gracious God, we pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, and friendship, those who are grieving. God, help them to see that in their grief they are not alone, that they may not have answers to their questions that they seek, but they do have the presence of you, our dear Savior, somebody who will hold our hand through anything. God, be with the people in Texas as they deal with this hurricane. Help them to see that they also are not alone, and that we as a people are called to respond, and that we can do great things for you, even in the midst of darkness and difficult situations. Help us all to be givers of your great Spirit. God, you have blessed us with so many gifts. Help us to look forward to this upcoming fall, for the changing colors, and just slow us down a little bit. Help us to appreciate the little moments. Help us to be present in gratitude and faith and hope and love and always say, do, and pray. In your name we pray. Amen.
The first scripture can be found in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. It can be found on page 803 in your pew Bible. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. The gospel lesson can be found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. It can be found on page 694 in your pew Bibles. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Will the children please come forward?
Thank you, Paul, and thank you, children. Let us join together in hymn number 511, "The Church's One Foundation." Please rise. Before we jump into our sermon today, I want to make one quick announcement. I'm going to offer a challenge to our kids. I'm going to do the children's lesson next week. And how I'm going to do it is it's going to be based entirely on a trinket or a toy that you bring from home, and I have to teach the entire children's lesson based on what each of you bring. So I challenge each of you to bring a trinket or toy to church that would challenge me as a pastor. Ryland, I'll be counting on some Pokeballs from you, buddy. So let's have a moment of prayer. God, we come before you and ask that you help us listen today to your Spirit that is working fast and quick in this world. Help us to be students, for we know that your ministry began with a heart that was open to God and to listening to how that Spirit works in this world. In your name we pray. Amen. So our gospel text today historically might be one of the most controversial passages in the Bible. Christians have fought wars over how this passage was interpreted. Verse 18 said, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Who or what that rock Jesus alludes to, who or what is that rock that Jesus alludes to in this passage? For those of the Catholic faith, it is Peter himself. This is the text used to establish the line of succession for the Bishop of Rome, or you might know him today as His Holiness the Pope. For Protestants like us, it's Peter's faith and not Peter himself that Christ decides to build on. Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." For us, it is the response of Peter that is that foundation. And what makes this text even more difficult to interpret, is that according to scholar William Barclay, in Greek, Peter is Petros. In Aramaic, it is Cephas. And both of those translations literally mean rock. So therefore, the word Peter and rock are pretty much interchangeable in this passage. So who is right, the Catholics or the Protestants? Now, I'm going to side with the Protestants, not for biblical reasons, but I have a better chance getting elected Pope than getting me to take a vow of poverty or celibacy, so I'm all in with the Protestants. But either way, no matter how you interpret this passage, whether you're a Catholic or whether you're a Protestant, is that either way, calling somebody a rock is a major compliment in the Bible. Abraham was referred to as the rock of life. Often Old Testament illustrations refer to God. The reference to God being a rock happens in the Old Testament tons of times. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2. "There is no rock like our God." Psalm 18:31 said, "Who is a rock except our God?" See, a rock is such an ordinary object when you think about it. They're all over the place. Yet these people lived in a world where life was very fragile. Disease, war, and even pregnancy could be life-threatening during this time. But a rock was a hard-to-break object that had stood the test of time. It was steadfast and immovable, and it was easy to see the holiness in something as ordinary as a little rock. See, the funny thing about this passage is that it is one of the few where one of the disciples get an answer correct from their beloved teacher. The passage is self-explanatory. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yet this is the one Christians have fought and bickered over the most over the ages. Because we've gotten so caught up in placing Peter in this passage that we've forgotten all about Jesus. See, our eyes should be pointed at him. Brothers and sisters, that is the foundation we need to build on. Jesus. So how do we keep Jesus at the foundation of our being? It requires us to take our commitment very seriously. The famous German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that religion of Christ is not a tidbit after one's bread. On the contrary, it is the bread or nothing. People should at least understand and concede this if they call themselves Christians. And by serious, I mean, is Jesus someone we let into our hearts for an hour a week, or is he someone we have completely surrendered our hearts to? Is what would Jesus do A bracelet we wear to look cool? Or is it a driving force in how we live our lives? See, a good litmus test for this is if a stranger came to your place of work tomorrow and asked if you were a Christian, would your coworkers be surprised if you said yes? But perhaps they would remember how often you present yourself with a warm smile, how you know the first names and the first names of all the children on the cleaning staff. They would remember that time you held their hand in the break room during a difficult loss. Your faith in God should seem obvious to everyone around you. As the famous hymn says, they'll know we are Christians by our love. They'll know we are Christians by our love. So is Scripture a foundation in how we live our lives? When is the last time Scripture influenced a decision you made? See, a lot of arguments are fought over which parts of the Bible should be taken literally or not. But however, if all of us worked harder at reading Scripture personally, those arguments would fade into the background. That is what Paul was discussing in Romans that Jacob read for us. So in Christ, we whom are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. See, I know I personally struggle with allowing Scripture to shape my life. I am a control freak. See, on the days I remember to open my daily text, it's easy for me to read that text and forget about it quickly, because I'm often doing it out of obligation. But the daily text was started by Zinzendorf in 1728 because he thought it was a good idea for the congregation to have a watchword to meditate on throughout the day. Members of the community read those daily texts with the expectation that the verse presented to them that day would speak to their lives. They expected that verse to speak to them. And Bonhoeffer, the theologian who I quoted earlier, was not a Moravian, but he was German and grew up around many Moravians, and he took his daily text reading very seriously. In fact, Bonhoeffer was able to escape Nazi Germany in the 1930s, and he emigrated to New York, where he lived a safe and protected and kosher life. He was a man in exile, and he was unsure if he should return to Germany to help his people. And according to an article in the Moravian by Bishop Graham Wright, Bonhoeffer drew the watchword one day, 1 Peter 1:17. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. Bonhoeffer read that, took those words to heart, and at that moment he decided to end his exile, and he returned to Nazi Germany to help the underground confessing church in their plot to overthrow Adolf Hitler. Bonhoeffer laid down his life for his cause because that is what the Scripture called him to do that day. And none of us may be called to a prophetic status by a Scripture verse like Dietrich Bonhoeffer was, but we still need to read Scripture personally, as if God whispers each verse into our own ears. And it's important to know what those Bible verses meant to the people who heard them in their context of time. However, it is far more important to ask ourselves, what is this Scripture calling me to do today? With a mindset like that, it is amazing how less tedious reading a daily text or daily devotional would feel if we take Scripture personally. And seriously, does not mean without joy. Our churches should seek to be a place where smiles and laughter can be contagious as the common cold. Young children giggling, screaming, and crying should not be viewed as an interruption, but a part of the liturgy of prayer we present to God every Sunday, showing our true humanity. Because if you show me a church with no joy in their hearts, I'll show you a place just going through the motion. No one wants to be a part of a community where laughter is forbidden. See, African-American civil rights leader Fred Shuttlesworth was known for going into segregated libraries in the 1960s, and he would try to check out books on the history of the Ku Klux Klan whenever he would integrate a library. And the librarians would be completely dumbfounded by this. Why would he want to do something as comical as that? But Shuttleworth, who was the right-hand man of Martin Luther King, believed that a sense of humor had to be an important part of the movement. It was his way of saying, I won't be a part of a spiritual revolution if I can't enjoy it. See, we can be serious in our convictions, but we can also do it with a smile on our face. See, brothers and sisters, with faith in Jesus Christ and a willingness to follow our Lord and Savior, we have been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The important thing is that we do not just take those keys and sit outside those pearly gates and wait for our names to be called. We have work to do. Jesus said, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Building up the kingdom of God on earth is our calling in the present moment. That's our calling today. And I ask that we leave this sanctuary expecting God to be active and communicating to us in our own lives. For God is talking to us in the scripture we read, a well-timed song on the radio, or a quiet summer day spent on our back porch or on our fishing boat. And if we take the time to listen, to slow down, perhaps all of us will develop a better understanding of what God is trying to tell us. Let us all come together and listen for a voice of God that is seeking to talk to each and every one of us. Amen. Let us pray. God, we come before you today and we ask that you help us listen, to really understand and expect that you are communicating with us. Help us to take our scripture seriously. Help us to see that you are not just speaking to the Israelites, the Gentiles, or to any people of God, but to each one of us individually. God, we know that you are personal for us, that you seek a relationship with each and every one of us. Help all of us seek that relationship with as much vigor as you seek us. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us now join together and sing our final hymn.
Thank you.
invite you all to once again join us down in Fellowship Hall as we celebrate our birthdays and anniversaries today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.